All right, welcome back. Who's talking second half hour? Hobo Frank, Chris Sill in the house, along with Jonathan, our producer engineer. And now Frank is going to introduce our next guest, the head tennis coach. Frank?
Well, we're delighted to have UVA head tennis coach Brian Boland. Brian is a very personable guy, very approachable. And if anybody bleeds tennis, it's Brian Boland. We're delighted to have him. He's entering his 12th season at the U. He's built up a championship-caliber program. He's made it to the semis and the finals numerous times now. And not to put any pressure on Coach Boland, but I have predicted that this is the year. So without further ado, Brian, welcome to Who's Talking.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be here, and I hope your prediction is going to come true. We'll give it our best.
Well, we've got, let's face it, you've got a terrific lineup. What a team. Three of your players are ranked in the top seven in the nation. You've got a nice blend of veterans and youth. You've got big servers. You've got rally masters. What's missing?
Not a lot right now. I feel like we have the ingredients that are necessary. Now it's just a lot of hard work. That's all that's missing right now. And at least so far in the season, they've responded very well to that. I mean, we spent the first couple of weeks down in Orlando training with one of the best fitness trainers in the world, and also spending some time on the court training, and the guys did an amazing job. The team really came together and had some great team-building exercises as well as some really hard fitness and working and training on the court, and then we played a tournament at the end, a one-day tournament, which we had to do, and I could be happier with that trip and where we're at. You know, we have a great nucleus of guys, 5 out of 6 returning from a national championship run last year, and what was rated as the number one recruiting class in the country, led by Max Stieslinger out of Birmingham, Alabama, who's already ranked 7 in the country, and then Ryan Shane from Northern Virginia, who's already ranked 22, who are both going to be impact players for us right away at the beginning of the year. So a lot of depth, a lot of opportunity for the guys to improve by pushing one another, and an exciting season for our fans right around the corner.
All right, You've got this basketball player ranked number 2 in the nation. You got Alex Demijan. You got Jermier Jenkins, who it looks to me like he could be a point guard if he wanted to.
By the way, basketball players are great tennis players.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. John Lucas at Maryland is an example.
But, absolutely.
You didn't think I knew that, did you, Hobo? You got Harrison Richmond, great name for us folks here in Richmond, Virginia. He's from Pawleys Island, so I guess every now and then he got away from just soaking the rays and hitting the beach there. But now you pronounce Max Stieslinger, is that right?
Yeah, Max Stieslinger out of Birmingham, Alabama. He was the top-rated recruit in the United States last year to go to college. Unfortunately for us, we beat the University of Southern California in the last two schools that came down to for Mac, and we were happy to beat him off the court. Now we need to beat him on the court, Frank.
I got you. Well, you've got some. You've got a good blend of Virginia players. This Mitchell Frank is from Annandale.
Yeah.
You got the Shane. These are the Shane brothers, right?
Yeah, these are the Shane brothers. Justin has played the last 2 years in 2 national finals and has a great deal of experience and has spent time as one of the top 25 players in the country. And then Ryan, who's already a top 25 player in his first semester, is just talk about a kid that has a professional game. And I really think can make it at the next level. I mean, this kid is a specimen. He's strong, he's explosive. He hit the pro ball already, and he's a competitor. It is going to be really fun for fans to see that guy play. He's special.
All right. Well, besides all these gunslingers, you've got a big tournament coming up this weekend, and tell us a little bit about the ITA kickoff weekend at Boar's Head Sports Club.
Well, it leads into qualifying for the National Indoor Championships, which UVA has won 4 of the last 5 championships. The final site is at Seattle this year in the middle of February. This is the kickoff weekend where there's 16 sites around the country that are hosting. All the top 16 seeds get a host of 3 other teams that come in. So there's 4 teams and 16 sites. It's a 64-team draw. The winner of each site advances to Seattle, and we're bringing in North Florida, who is in our bracket, who qualified to get into the tournament, and then Georgia State is playing Arkansas in the other semifinals, and our first round is at 6 o'clock on Friday night, this coming Friday night, the 25th, and then on the 26th, assuming we advance to the final round, we will play the winner of Arkansas or Georgia State at 6 o'clock Saturday night. So a chance for our fans to get out and see our team and a lot of new players compete, and we're looking forward to that because we don't get many home matches this year the way I organized the schedule.
All right, so one thing that I noticed in researching your schedule, it looks like you're traveling on March 17th out to compete with Illinois at their facilities in Urbana, Illinois, which is somewhere near Champaign, correct?
That is Champaign, Illinois. You are correct.
And this is going to be the site of the NCAA championships. So you're scouting out the facilities and helping your players get ready for what you hope to be is a triumphant run through the NCAAs, correct?
That is exactly the reasoning for scheduling that match. There was no other reason. We wanted to play a regular season match where the final site would be for the NCAA Outdoor Championships in May. You know, one of the things I always try to do at the end of each season, Frank, is find little ways, whether we had won national titles or, in our case, unfortunately, lost to the two past national championship matches in 2011 and 2012. That was one of the things we thought we could, you know, do a better job of, is making sure that we spent some time having an opportunity to compete at the final site before we go there for the first time at the NCAA.
Coach, this is Hobbo. I look at your career at Virginia, and your last ACC match that you lost was in 2006. That's enough said from my standpoint. I just wish you would talk to your colleagues over there in the coaches' offices to see if you can get some of the others to do as well as you're doing. But, you know, the question, looking at your background here, your wife's name is Becky, and your children are Brianna, Bryce, Brendan, and Brooke. Now, I assume you must have a lot of monogrammed clothing with BB on it, so you want everybody to be able to use it.
Well, don't forget the two pets, Basil and Betty.
Betty's
the dragon, and Basil's the cat. So they were very disappointed that you would neglect mentioning.
Well, I'm sorry. You're going to have to put those in your bio from now on. They weren't mentioned.
Well, Betty's key. I mean, the bearded dragon is dangerous, so that's Bryce's little pet. But anyway, we call ourselves the B family. The wife probably started that, so as I got so busy and the intense guy I am, she probably wanted to make sure I didn't forget anyone's name, so I just yell out B, and they all come running. But, it's been great. You know, four kids, and they all love the sport and play tennis. Huge tennis family. Wife plays tennis, and it's a big hit over here, so it's been fun.
One thing's for certain, your wife is a saint because I've seen her in action, and she embraces your love of the tennis program just like you do, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Who will be the teams that challenge you the most this year in the ACC?
Duke's the top five team. It's probably the best team they've had maybe in their history or very close to it. They are a national championship contender. So, you know, they pushed us over the years in the ACC. They haven't beat us since back in 06. So this will be our seventh year without losing an ACC match. We can get through it. But Duke will be a perennial power and certainly will pose us some challenges, no doubt. Ohio State is a very strong team this year. UCLA is a strong team this year. USC is always going to be extremely dangerous. Those are the teams that I think are, you know, most immediately going to pose a great deal of trouble for us. I mean, you're looking at four other teams there that are national powers, and we will likely run into them, or some, if not all of them, at the national team indoors in Seattle, assuming we advance this weekend. So that will give us our first real test in the middle of February.
You know, the Australian Open is marching on and on. It seems like it's never going to end. But I did see where your protege there, Somdev Devarman, did quite well. He got into the second round. He lost to a really terrific tennis player who, you know, they went five sets, and that match went a long way, although it didn't last as long as some of the other matches that have been going on this year. But talk a little bit about Somdev's recovery from his shoulder surgery.
Yeah, super thrilled with Somdev's progress. I mean, to come off the win in Chennai and beat a top 100 player and then losing a decent match to Burdich, who's 6 or 7 in the world in Chennai, was something that gave him a lot of confidence going into Australia, because he'd really been sitting out for a little bit over a year at that point with a nagging shoulder, and he had shoulder surgery, had a slap tear, and it was really, really painful process for him to go through. It was his first significant injury in his tennis career. But typical Somdev, and I really mean this, this guy, no matter what the circumstance, always turns something into a positive. That's just the way he is. You know, other people like that in this world, that regardless of the situation, they're going to find a way to turn it, spin it into a positive, and Somdev does that. And he worked through the process. He did his rehab. He trained. He worked. He trained. He worked. And he's worked his way back already to playing at a top-level ATP competitive level, where you know he's playing a guy in the top 25 in the world from Poland, and really had opportunities to win that match. Unfortunately, lost 7-5 in the fifth, which was a grueling match, and I was so proud of his effort. I had the chance after I got off the court to see the last two sets, and then of course he beat a very, very good German Bjorn Powell in the first round, who's about 70 in the world. So Somdev's back in his form. He's playing great. He's fitter than ever. And it's all credit to him, his hard work, and his ability to deal with adversity. He's a true who. In fact, on another note, Somdev just bought a home here in Charlottesville and called Charlottesville home now. So we're proud to have Charlottesville, Somdev's home, along with former player Trent Hill. He also is on the tour and is the top 30 doubles player in the world. He's doing very well.
That's terrific. By the way, we're visiting with head tennis coach Brian Boland. Brian, I think we've asked you this before, but tennis is a long season. How do you structure your coaching such that the guys are going to be playing their best tennis when it comes tournament time in May?
Well, we run an individual program. As you know, every single student-athlete on your team, particularly in an individual sport like tennis, although it's turned into a team sport, but it's still naturally an individual sport, are different, and they're on different schedules, and we pay each of them a little bit differently. I'm not the typical university college tennis coach who goes to team practice every afternoon for a few hours, and then you do your fitness, weights, and administrative stuff. We're on the court all day, so I'll start early in the morning, go to lunch, come back, and go all afternoon, and sometimes late into the evening. I mean, a lot of days are 10 hours on the court before we get to do anything else, and that includes fitness sessions and all the individual stuff that we do. So it's long, and that's how we pace them. We pace them, Frank, based on what each player needs, where they're at physically, mentally, and emotionally, and we keep very, very close tabs what it's going to take to get each guy playing their best tennis come May. So I can't really do it collectively. I have to do it on a very individual basis, and so far I'm really pleased with our postseason success. I really am. I've never felt like going into the NCAA that for sure had the best team. Hopefully that will be the case this year. I think we have a chance to do that. I've gone into the NCAA championship a couple times where I felt like, you know, we are as good as anyone else. And then there's been other times where I thought, well, if we, you know, if things bounce our way, we can win it. So we've been a top 8 seed since 2004. No one's ever done that. So we've been in the hunt. We've had our, had some good looks at hitting the ball out of the park, and we're just going to keep doing that. It's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen.
One question. Brian, who is the current Hal Burroughs scholarship recipient?
You know, I think right now that is Mitchell Frank, who obviously was the number one player in the country last year. And he, I believe, is the Hal Burroughs recipient of the Hal Burroughs scholarship. And obviously we are so thrilled with the contributions that Hal Burroughs not only has made to the University of Virginia tennis program, but the impact he's made on young people's lives because of the sport of tennis all over the state, the region, and the nation. He is an absolutely phenomenal human being, as we all know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad we were able to get that in. Coach, we wish you the best of luck. I will be seeing you at some of the upcoming matches, and we wish you the best of luck. Obviously, we enjoy having you on the show, and we hope to have you back on maybe to preview the ACCs and then later the NCAAs.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Love the opportunity to talk tennis, and you guys do such a great job, and keep it going, and wahoo, wah. Thanks.
Absolutely. All right, we've got 2 minutes before we go to our next break. Hobbo, do you want to talk about the ACC schedule?
Yeah, some games coming up tomorrow, NC State and Wake, BC and Maryland, but a couple of really interesting games on Wednesday night. The first one, 7 o'clock, Duke, back as the number one team in the country. Down at Miami.
Where Miami is 4-0 in the conference.
4-0 in the conference and ranked in the top 25 for the first time this year. So, I mean, that's going to be a heck of a basketball game down in Coral Gables with our friend Jim Larrañaga coaching the Miami Hurricane.
And I am going to predict this is a trap game for Duke, and I predict that Miami wins this game.
You know, I don't know what the line on the game would be. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami's favorite, even though Duke's number one. So I mean, anytime you go on the road in the ACC and you're playing, it's becoming apparent that Miami, NC State, and Duke are probably the three best teams in the country.
This year right now.
North Carolina, I think, is going to be an NCAA team. So I think there are two or three or four teams fighting for that last one or two spots in the NCAA, and Virginia would certainly be among those two or three or four teams that, you know, if we play well in our last 14 games, you get in the tournament.
Virginia plays at Virginia Tech on Thursday night down in Blacksburg, an 8 o'clock game. There's going to be a big gathering over there at Champs, over at Stony Point Mall. You want to get over there early. There's drink specials, appetizer specials, and the fundraising kickoff for the Hokies versus Hoos food fight begins that night. So,
if you have both Hokies and Hoos there, the food fight may actually start that night.
I think that's a good idea. Let's take them down. Let's let the hostilities begin.
That may be the last time Champs host this particular gathering.
They have no idea what they're getting into, do they? All right, we're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to cover all the Olympic sports, and we're going to tease some upcoming shows. Stay with us. This is Hoos Talking.